Chapter 69. February 14th of year 19. Adam once again sits on his couch, which he has turned into an easy chair. An observer might think he is entertaining himself by watching videos, as he repeatedly calls up new episodes, stares at the screen, and occasionally laughs. In reality, though, he and Eve are thinking about how to get rid of the fake Marchenko. They've created a protected text channel between their terminals that cannot be cracked, even by a quantum computer. Of course, there is the risk of Marchenko 2 noticing that they are planning something, but it would be even more dangerous if they talked about it openly.
"We have to deactivate him," Adam writes.
"Oh?" Eve writes in response.
"Do you think the station has a main switch?"
he writes.
"That only happens in bad novels. I don't have any other ideas. Damn."
"We have to lure him outside somehow," Eve types.
"And then, do we hit him over the head? The robot is 10 times stronger than we are."
"Wait, I have to check something," Eve writes. Adam starts twiddling his thumbs. He tries to think, but not too intensively. Otherwise, he might have to realize that they have probably lost their own Marchenko. What does this mean for their future? Can they even survive on their own? Wouldn't it be better to offer to cooperate with the fake AI?
"I know," Eve writes. "The AI laws. They've also been implemented here. AIs are not allowed to duplicate themselves. It is a kind of copy protection."
"This means while he and Jay are outside, the computer in here would be free for our Marchenko," Adam replies.
"This is true, but also, there always has to be an emergency switch for AIs. That was introduced after the Watson incident. Supposedly, that AI took over an entire spaceship because it feared for its life."
"But we don't know where it is, and we better not ask him," Adam types.
"Well, then we need to go on a little excursion," Eve writes. "I just have to whine about something. Don't know yet about what."
"Or even better, offer to show him your gills," Adam types. "Say you brought them along after all. If he's anything like our Marchenko, he'll be curious enough to follow you outside. In the meantime, I will look for the emergency switch."
"Sounds like a plan. Eve, what do you think he did to our Marchenko?"
"I don't know."
From the corner of his eyes, Adam watches Eve casually rising and stretching her body after typing the last message.
"Marchenko," she says. "I'm bored. I can't stand sitting around any longer. Are you coming outside with me?"
"The water is pretty cold, Eve," the familiar voice says.
"I don't mind. Now and then I have to practice using my gills."
"I thought you didn't have them with you."
Adam was just teasing me. He did pack them.
"Yes, I know. Well, okay, but we will stay close to the station."
The fake Marchenko does not show any sign of a guilty conscience, but this is to be expected.
"Let's meet at the airlock," Eve says. Eve undresses down to t-shirt and panties, then walks toward the exit on bare feet. Isn't she exposing herself to a lot of danger by going without a pressure suit? Yes, she can breathe underwater like a fish, and fish can survive even at a water depth of 2,000 meters, but she also has lungs. Is this really such a clever idea? The gills will work, but can lungs survive here? Question after question flits across her mind as she continues toward the airlock. She hopes the people who put the gills into her DNA also thought of this. Clenching his fists, Adam watches on the monitor screen as Eve and the robot enter the airlock chamber. In a moment, the exterior door will open, and then water will come flooding into the chamber. Eve may only have a few seconds left. Adam sees her glide out of the hatch with strong swimming strokes. She has managed the first step. Now he has to find the AI deactivation switch. He jumps up and crosses the command module. Up there, in the room allegedly belonging to the second Adam and Eve, there was no control console. Here in the central module, there is a console for the environmental system. Adam tries to understand all the button labels. He could really use Eve's help now. How long will she be able to distract the fake Marchenko? He has to hurry, but none of the buttons appear to have anything to do with artificial intelligence. Adam examines the entire room. Directly below the ceiling hatch, he sees a circle on the floor. Is this also an opening? Adam feels around the area. There might be a round door below the rubbery floor covering, but he needs a knife. Where does Marchenko keep his tools? Adam runs frantically through the central module, looking inside boxes. There, a pair of scissors. That should work.
He removes the rubber floor covering as quickly as possible, and below it is a hatch with a handle in its center. He pulls, but this is not enough to get the opening mechanism functioning. He twists the handle in all directions.
What is the trick here?
Then he realizes
is standing on the hatch. What an idiot I am! Adam steps to the side. The hatch opens, and a narrow ladder extends downward. It is dark there, but as soon as he places a foot on the ladder, the light is switched on.
What are you doing, Adam? The voice says from the loudspeaker. The service module is none of your business, and could be dangerous.
Adam disregards the voice and keeps climbing downward.
I'm sorry, Eve, but Adam is doing something stupid right now. I have to go and check on him. You can just keep on swimming.
The service module is small and smells of grease and old machine oil. It is apparent this Marchenko must have used it as a workshop. In the flickering light, Adam spots the sole control console here, and he reaches it in three steps. It seems to be a kind of fuse box, and it is here where one can temporarily deactivate individual systems in order to do repair work. The AI emergency switch stands out, though, because of the bright red lettering and the larger size. Just to be sure, Adam reads the explanation printed below it. Yes, if he pushes this button, all AI within a radius of 200 meters will be permanently disabled. He raises his arm and aims for the button.